All right, Numbers chapter 16, and we're going to look there to verse 25. Numbers 16 and verse 25. Why don't you stand with me? I got to stand the whole time I'm preaching. Why don't you stand too? And Numbers chapter 16 and verse 25. We'll read here together a passage of scripture and pray, and I'll let you be seated. Okay, Numbers chapter 16. And beginning there in verse 25, the Bible says, "And Moses rose up and went unto Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. He spake unto the congregation, saying, Depart, I pray you, from the tent of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest ye be consumed in all their sins. So they got up from the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan and Abiram on every side, and Dathan and Abiram came out and stood in the door of their tents, and their wives and their sons and their little children. And Moses said, Hereby ye children know, ye shall know that the Lord has sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of mine own hand." Okay, of mine own mind. Verse 29. You found it? Verse 29. "If these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me. But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth, and swallow them up with all that appertain unto them, and they go down quick into the pit, then ye shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord. And it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up and their houses and all the men that appertained unto Korah and all their goods. They and all that appertained unto them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. And all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them, for they said, Lest the earth swallow us up also. And there came out a fire from the Lord and consumed the 250 men that offered incense. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, that he take up the censers out of the burning, and scatter thou the fire yonder, for they are hallowed. The censers of these sinners against their own souls. Let them make them broad plates for a covering of the altar, for they offered them before the Lord. Therefore they are hallowed, and they shall be a sign unto the children of Israel. Now Eleazar, the priest, took the brazen censers, wherewith they that were burnt had offered, and they were made broad plates for a covering of the altar, to be a memorial unto the children of Israel, that no stranger, which is not of the seed of Aaron, come near to offer incense before the Lord, that he be not as Korah and as his company, as the Lord had said to him by the hand of Moses. But on the morrow all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses, against Aaron, saying, Ye have killed the people of the Lord. They began to murmur and complain against them. It says in verse 42, And it came to pass when the congregation was gathered against Moses and against Aaron, that they looked toward the tabernacle of the congregation. And behold, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared. And Moses and Aaron came before the tabernacle of the congregation. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Get you up from among this congregation, that I may consume them as in a moment. And they fell upon their faces. And Moses said unto Aaron, Take a censer, and put fire therein from off the altar, and put on incense, and go quickly unto the congregation, and make an atonement for them. For there is wrath gone out from the Lord. The plague is begun. And Aaron took as Moses commanded and ran into the midst of the congregation. And behold, the plague was begun among the people. And he put on incense and made an atonement for the people. And he stood between the dead and the living. And the plague was stayed. Now they that died in the plague were 14,700 beside them that died about the matter of Korah. And Aaron returned unto Moses under the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And the plague was stayed. The plague was stopped. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I ask you to help us now as we look to your word, that you would speak to our hearts and challenge us tonight. Lord, make a difference in our life tonight, I pray, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated there. Let's go back and we're going to look at just a few of these verses again, some key verses, and see why God did what he did. God killed Korah and others for their sin, and that's a whole story that is not really the focus of what I want to get into tonight, but God made the earth to open up and swallow them up. Perhaps similar to what like an earthquake might do, or maybe it was much beyond that. Maybe it was literally, you know, a big opening and a swallowing, that's what it describes, but similar to what an earthquake might do or could do, depending on the impact of it and how great God made it. Again, God can do anything, right? He made this world. But it seems like God took those sinners straight to the pit, if you will, straight to hell. But I want you to notice how the people ended up responding afterwards. Don't you think if you just saw God do something incredible to open up the earth and to swallow them up, don't you think that would make people kind of fear God a little bit? Don't you think it would make them want to, respond to Moses a little bit? He was God's man for them and so on. But instead of fearing God, instead they started murmuring and complaining against Moses and against Aaron. And God decided to send a plague upon them, to send a plague upon the people. Again, notice there in verse 41, it says, "But on the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, 'Ye have killed the people of the Lord.'" Was it them that had killed those people? No, it was God who brought some judgment upon them, and because of Korah and their sins and so on. Verse 42, "And it came to pass when the congregation was gathered against Moses and against Aaron, that they looked toward the tabernacle of the congregation, and behold, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared. And Moses and Aaron came before the tabernacle of the congregation, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, 'Get you up from among this congregation.'" He says, "I want you to get up from among them. I want you to get up away from them. You come away from them, and you can remove yourself, and I'm going to bring a plague upon them. I'm going to bring some judgment upon them because I don't like the way that they're acting. I don't like their sin." He says, "Get you up from among them, from among this congregation, that I may consume them as in a moment." What is incredible to me about this story is that Moses still wanted to intercede for these wicked, rebellious, sinful people. Even though they were sinful, even though they were rebellious and so on, you know what? The attitude of most preachers would be to just let them all suffer. Let them all suffer from the plague. And if I can say it this way, not you think I'm cursing or something, let them all die and go to hell. You know, that's literally what happened when all the others were swallowed up in the earth. They were taken down to the pit, the Bible says. Most preachers would say, "Oh, I don't care. They're evil and they're wicked, and let God bring his judgment and let God bring a plague upon these ones now. They don't obviously fear God. Look what God did, and they still don't fear him, and they're still being rebellious, and they're still stubborn and so on, and they're blaming us." But Moses and Aaron interceded between God and man. Notice what they did. Verse 45, "Get you up from among this congregation that I may consume them as in a moment." God said, you can get out from among them. But what did they do? They fell upon their faces. They weren't struck down to fall. I mean, they purposefully fell to their knees. They fell to the ground and fell upon their faces on the ground to pray. To pray. They were so burdened in their own heart, recognizing this is what God is going to do, and God's going to bring his judgment upon the sinful people, but still it was people that they loved. And they fell upon their faces to pray. They didn't say, "Okay, God, I'm out of here. Forget these wicked people. You do whatever you want to do to them. I'm out of here." No, they fell upon their faces to pray. That's incredible to me. That's a sign of people that fear God and love people. And I think that likely there upon their faces, they wept and shed some tears and began to pray for the people and began to intercede. "God, what can we do?" But they get up from praying, and Moses tells Aaron, "Aaron, this is what I want you to do. This is what I want you to do." Their first reaction is to pray. But when they get up from praying, Look what he says. Look what Moses tells Aaron. Verse 46. And Moses said unto Aaron, take a censer and put fire therein from off the altar and put on incense and go quickly unto the congregation and make an atonement for them. He says, I want you to go and make an atonement for the people. Make an atonement for them, for there is wrath gone out from the Lord. They understood God's wrath was coming, God's judgment, and God was going to punish them. And they're somehow going to try to intercede. They're going to try to make an atonement for the people. Says, for there is wrath gone out from the Lord, the plague is begun. And Aaron took as Moses commanded and ran into the midst of the congregation. And behold, the plague was begun among the people. God already begun to bring this judgment of a plague that was going to kill them. Whether it was a plague of a certain disease that immediately they were struck and so on, that people were dying throughout the congregation, throughout the camp and so on. It already begun. But it says he put on incense and made an atonement for the people. Verse 48. And he stood between the dead and the living. And the plague was stayed. The plague was stopped. Now they that died in the plague were 14,700. Beside them that had died about the matter of Korah. And Aaron returned unto Moses under the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And the plague was stayed. No, 14,700 died, and that's a sad thing. That's an awful thing. But God was bringing their judgment because of their sin. We don't like that. But God was judging sin as he always will. And he punished it. But the awesome thing about the story to me is the way that Moses and Aaron interceded. The way that Moses and Aaron, when they knew of God's wrath and knew that God's judgment was coming, the way they prayed. The way that Moses said to Aaron, this is what we're going to do, and I want you to go and do this, and we'll make an atonement for the people. We'll intercede, and we'll stand between the dead and the living. That the plague would be stopped, that the judgment would be stopped. And notice what it had said about Aaron in verse 48 there. He stood between the living and the dead to make an atonement for the people. What a powerful verse. The plague was stayed. This means the plague was stopped. No more men died because Aaron stood between the living and the dead. Can I ask you something? Why did Jesus Christ die on the cross? Well, he died there to make an atonement for the sins of the people. He died on the cross to make an atonement for the sins of the world. He hung on a cross so that people who were doomed and destined for death and hell could be saved and have eternal life. People who were condemned already to death so that they could have eternal life. He hung on a cross really to stand between the dead and the living. Aaron was standing in the story that we read. He was standing between the living and the dead. God also wants you and I to recognize that we now, in this day and in our time, you know something? We also are to stand between the living and the dead. In a different sense, think about it. People all around us are lost and they're dying. People all around us are lost and dying every day. Every second, people are dying. Every second, people are dying in this world. They're dying. They're on their way to hell for all eternity. But we are the ones that can bring to them the gospel message so that they can have eternal life. People who are dead in their trespasses and sins, we know that they can have life through the good news of Jesus if we'll share it with them and if they will accept Christ as their personal Savior. Truly, when you think about it, if we've got the message that can help a dead person to have life, we're standing between the living and the dead. If we know the gospel and you know about Christ and you know how he can save a lost person, you're standing between the living and the dead. You can make a great difference there. James chapter number 5, I think it is. Hadn't written it down before, but it just popped back in my mind right now. James chapter 5. In verse 22, I think it is. No, not 20. James 5:20. James 5 and verse 20, what does it say? Let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from what? Death. Shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Just as Aaron was there interceding and he stood between the living and dead and he went and did something that there made an atonement for the sins of the people so that God's judgment would be stayed, God's judgment would be stopped. Listen, you are the ones who, he says, we stand between the living and the dead. We're the ones that can take to the lost sinner the message of the gospel and so that a soul can be saved from death and they can have eternal life. It's a great responsibility. It's a great thing that we need to remember that we truly stand between the living and the dead. Turn with me back to Psalm chapter 89, if you would. Psalm chapter 89. When a person dies a physical, bodily death here upon this earth, it's too late then for them to be saved. When a person dies, and I know there can be religions that think, well, a person dies and they may go to some other place. They really don't go to heaven or hell. They may just go to purgatory. And maybe if someone prays, you know, and does enough things, they can help to get that person out of purgatory and into heaven. But that's nowhere in the Bible. That's part of a man-made religion. You won't find it anywhere in the Word of God. It's not in there. When a person dies, the physical bodily death, it's too late then. It is too late. Before a person dies, they must receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. In Psalm 6, it says this, Return, O Lord, deliver my soul. O save me for thy mercy's sake. For in death there is no remembrance of thee. In the grave, who shall give thee thanks? When a person dies and goes to the grave, it's too late then for them to get saved. They must get saved before they die. Psalm 89. You found it? Psalm chapter 89 in verse number 48. Psalm 89, verse 48. The Bible says this, What man is he that liveth and shall not see death? Shall he deliver his soul from the hand of the grave? See the. What man is he that liveth and shall not see death? You know what? Pretty much every man that's ever lived, except for a couple who God miraculously did a thing where he took them right to heaven without dying a physical bodily death. Every man's died. Every man's body has gone and been buried in the grave. Nobody escapes from death. We don't escape it. Oh, but when a person dies that physical bodily death, where does their soul go? Where does their spirit go? The Bible teaches us it can either go to heaven or to hell. A person will either face death and the second death and a forever death, or they will have eternal life and a home in heaven. And they'll get to be with God and they'll get to be with the Savior for all eternity. It's either heaven or hell. You know what one of the worst things probably is about hell? Is that it's forever. It's forever. Eternity's forever. Heaven is forever, and that's glorious for those that are saved. But you know what? Hell is also forever. The lake of fire is forever. It's not just, oh, throwing somebody in the fireplace and they get burned up and they die and, you know, that's the end of it. It's forever. Continual burning. Continual agony. Continual separation from God. Continue, as the Bible describes hell, as a place of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. It's forever. There's no end to the suffering. There's no end to the punishment. There's no end to the fire. There's no end to the darkness. It's an awful place. When people face death, it's either eternal life for them or it's the second death that they'll receive. It's either heaven or hell. Turn with me over to the book of Revelation, if you would. Revelation chapter 20. Can I remind you tonight, remind me tonight, we are standing between the living and the dead. We are standing between the living and the dead. In Revelation chapter 20 and verse number 11, the Bible says this, And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. What kind of dead? Well, those that are dead spiritually. We've talked about it sometimes, and that's why a person is born again. Those that are saved, or there's those that are dead. How can they stand before God? Well, because they were dead spiritually. They were never saved. But the dead, those that were never born again, those that never had the new life through Christ, they will stand before God at the great white throne judgment. It says, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. They'll be judged for their sin. The Bible says in verse 13, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Again, Revelation is a prophetical book, and this is a prophecy of what will take place, the great white throne judgment. And all the dead, all the unsaved will stand before God, and they'll be judged, and they'll be cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's forever. The second death is an awful thing and an awful place. Revelation 21:8 says, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. That doesn't sound nice to me. That doesn't sound like a place where I'd want any of my neighbors to end up. That doesn't sound like a place where I don't think any of you would want any of your relatives to end up, is that they're lost and they're unsaved and they face death alone and they face the second death, an eternity being separated from God. As much as we may not like it, God says that's the condemnation and that's the judgment that's going to come upon those that are not saved. Turn back with me, if you would, to the book of Romans. The book of Romans, chapter number 5. Romans chapter 5. Romans 5:12. The Bible says this. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world. And what? You know what the next word is? And what? And death by sin. And so, what's the next word? And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We're standing between the living and the dead. Romans 6:23, what does it say? For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal what? Life. The wages of sin is death on the one side, but on the other hand, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And you stand between the living and the dead. You've got some neighbors who, in reality, we know they're dead spirits, and if they don't get saved, they'll face the second death. They'll face an eternity without God. They'll face an eternity in the lake of fire. But you can make a difference to help convert them, to help save them, to help give them the gospel so they can be saved and their life can be changed so they can have eternal life. Oh, it's important that we stand in that gap. We stand there between the living and the dead and we do what we can. Just as Moses and Aaron dropped to their faces to pray because they knew that God's plague and God's judgment was going to be upon some people, they began to pray. And then they did something to intercede, to make an atonement for the people. We need to intercede for those around us, and we need to give them the gospel, and we need to pray for them. Look with me quickly at John chapter 3. John chapter 3 and verse number 36. John chapter 3 and verse 36. You help me now. What does the Bible say? He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son of God shall not see life. If you're not going to see life, well, what are you going to see? Death. The second death. It says, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Turn with me to John 5 and verse 24. John chapter 5 and verse 24. This was Jesus Christ speaking. And in John 5:24, what does he say? Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. Hath everlasting life, John 5:24, and shall not come into condemnation. Look at these words. But is passed from what? Death unto life. He's passed from death unto life. What a difference. What a difference it makes if a person will come to Jesus Christ and they will believe on Him and they will be saved. They no longer are condemned for their sin. They're in Christ Jesus, and their life is so changed that they are passed from death to life. Where there's a plague on them because of sin. Where there's judgment that they deserve because of God's judgment upon it. If a person will believe, if they'll accept what Christ has done to make an atonement for their sin, they can pass from death unto life. Don't you think it's important that we stand between the living and the dead? Don't you think it's important that we pray for these over here, that they would get over here? Don't you think it's important that we share the gospel with these, we share the truth with these, so that they can know that God wants them to have life, God wants them to be saved? Look at one last passage with me. Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16 and verse 19. We are standing between the living and the dead. We're standing between the living and the dead. Luke 16 and verse number 19. This was the words of Jesus Christ. And He says, "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen." This is not one of the parables of Jesus. When Jesus gave a parable, the Bible says that He was giving a parable. But He was talking about some real people here. He was giving the names of some real men that we know about and so on. And He talks about Lazarus. He says, "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores." Perhaps he was a leper. Either case, he was a very sick man that was just a beggar and would... The Bible says, "In desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table, moreover the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. And Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented." Notice this, verse 26. "And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed." There is a great gulf. There's a great gap fixed. There's a great separation there. "So that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence." He said that, listen, when it's died now, rich man that's now there in hell, it's too late. You may long for Lazarus to be able to come and help you now and comfort you now, or have a tip of water there to touch your tongue and so on, but it's too late now. You may even long for someone to come and, share with me the truth now, I believe now, but sorry, it's too late, the Bible says. It's too late. They cannot pass from hence to thence or from thence to here. It's too late after a person dies. Truly, we stand between the living and the dead. The living and the dead. Notice what it says in verse 27. "Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren." In other words, I have five brothers. "That he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. He said, Nay, or no, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. He said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead." Notice that how now that rich man in hell, he's concerned about his brothers. That rich man in hell becomes the most concerned soul winner that you'll ever meet. The rich man who has died and he's lost and he didn't know Christ as a Savior, and now he's there in hell and he's being tormented by the flames. He's saying, "Would you please send somebody to my father's house? Send somebody to my brothers to try to share with them the truth. To tell them about this awful place. To warn them so they can be saved." We stand between the living and the dead. We can make a difference. God wants to use you and me to make a difference. There's a place where we need to stand. There's some people on this side that are lost and dying and they don't know Christ and they're on their way to hell for all eternity. They need you to be concerned for them. They need you to pray for them. They need me to pray for them. There are people over here that need us not just to pray for them, but tell them, "Hey, we know that how you can have life. How you can have eternal life, how you can be saved and forgiven of all your sins. God loves you." How selfless would it be for us to keep that message all to ourselves and us to be standing in heaven one day while the great white throne judgment is taking place? I don't know if we're going to have to observe that scene or not, but we very well may have to watch it. The Bible doesn't just say there'll be no tears in heaven. Doesn't the Bible actually word it, "He shall wipe away all tears from their eyes"? Could you imagine us standing in heaven as believers? We know Christ and we were saved. And what if we're there having to observe and having to watch the great white throne judgment? And we see some of our relatives, or we see some of our neighbors, or we see some of our co-workers, and one by one they go and they stand before God at that judgment, and they are condemned and found guilty for their sins, and they are thrown into the lake of fire. We won't feel so good then. What if they, at that white throne judgment, are able to point a finger at you over there and say, "Why didn't you tell me? And why didn't you warn me?" We could have made a difference. Let's make a difference. We can stand between the living and the dead. We can make a difference. We can pray for them. We can be the go-between, to be the one that helps to bring them to the truth. We can be the one that helps them to be passed from death unto life. We can help them from so they won't be condemned and face the second death, but so that they can have eternal life and a home in heaven. What are we going to do about it? What are we going to do about it? Never forget, we all need to stand between the living and the dead. We can stand here and we can do something to help bring life to those who are facing death for all eternity. Let's pray together.